Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, reading 1 to 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and reading verse 1. Let's again hear what the Word of God says. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And we draw the reading to a close there at verse 16. I'd ask you to keep your Bibles open at this portion in the Word of God. Or particularly today, I want to focus upon these great words of Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Here the Word of God states very emphatically and very clearly and very succinctly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the one who does not change. And how precious that is. How precious that truth should be to you and to me in a world that is ever changing. What do these people have in common? I'm sure you'll realize it as I read the list. George H.W. Bush, politician. Burt Reynolds, actor. Aretha Franklin, singer and songwriter. Tom Wolfe, writer. Stephen Hawking, eminent scientist. Roger Bannister, famous athlete. Billy Graham, accomplished evangelist. All different occupations. What do they have in common? They all died in the course of this year, 2018. As the poet famously wrote, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Change in our world during the past year. There have been many changes in the big world around us. change our own country over this last year. Change, I'm sure, of one kind or another in each of your lives. For a start, we're all 1 year older, more or less. Maybe changes in the people around you. For people can be very fickle and very changeable. So many, many, many changes, even the past 12 months. And we cannot foresee what changes may occur in our world and in our lives in 2019. What really will happen about Brexit, I wonder? Will it happen? And if it does happen, what kind of Brexit will it be? And how will it affect the country? How will it affect the business and the farmers and our lives? We cannot tell. Will the assembly be restored in Stormont? Well, we may hope so, but we cannot be sure. Will even the current government be still in power? Perhaps, perhaps not. So many things that may happen in this forthcoming year that we cannot predict, that we cannot know. We cannot even tell what a day may bring forth. Subject to change and all the uncertainties that that brings upon us. How good it is to know them. How good it is that the Lord has placed in his word such a verse as this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change in 2019. This is a verse, I think, that is often quoted in sermons. Preachers, and I'm sure yourselves as well, we love to quote this verse, for it contains such a great and comforting truth. Maybe even you've memorized this verse. I remember way back in my child, it was one of the verses we certainly memorized. It's not too hard to memorize. It's short and succinct and to the point. But let's look a bit more closely at it and what it really means. And there are at least three things that come to mind when we hear this great statement, especially when we set it in its context in Hebrews 13. Three things concerning Jesus Christ and his unchangeableness. And the first one, of course, and the fundamental one is this. He is unchanging in his being. In his being, in his nature. There is a strong contrast in Psalm 102 that we read between the Lord and even the heavens and the earth. Remember, we read that and we sang it as well. The heavens and the earth, after all, they do seem so stable and so enduring and so lasting. And yet Psalm 102 tells us they will all wear out like a garment, like a piece of clothing, even the heavens and the earth will be subject to upheaval, subject to great change. Isn't that a very vivid picture of what will happen to the heavens and the earth? Wearing out like a robe or like a garment. I'm sure in the course of this year, there are clothes that you have worn out. And maybe even during this last week, you were out at the sales looking for new clothes and new garments to update your wardrobe, to replace the garments that have worn out. God's word says that even the heavens and the earth will be subject to be worn out. For as of Jesus Christ, it can be said, as it is said in Psalm 102 and verse 27, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. And as you may know, You turn with me for a moment back to the very first chapter of Hebrews. You'll see the link here. The first chapter of Hebrews and verses 10 to 12. In that chapter, Jesus has been described as being far, far superior to the angels, for he is the eternal Son of God. And various passages in Scripture are quoted to demonstrate the superiority of Jesus to the angels and to prove that he is indeed the eternal Son of God. And if you look at verses 10 and 12 there, what do you find in 10 to 12? You find the words of Psalm 102, which spoke of Yahweh or the Lord or Jehovah in the psalm, being applied to Jesus as the Son of God. So Hebrews testifies very, very strongly to the unchangeableness of the Lord Jesus Christ in his being, in his nature, in his character. Also in mind, perhaps, we could bear in mind the fact that Hebrews stresses the fact that Jesus is unchanging in his priesthood. He is our great high priest. And as Hebrews 7:25 assures us, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. That's good news for us as sinners, unworthy sinners. Yes, Jesus died once and for all on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, but he also ever lives to intercede for us at God's right hand. The Lord Jesus, he is unchanging in his being. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How reassuring that is. Whenever people change, whenever circumstances change, whenever the world around us changes, Jesus Christ is the unchanging Savior and Lord and High Priest for his people. He is unchanging in his being. Secondly, we can see here, I think, in the context, he is unchanging in his presence. He is unchanging in his presence with his people and for his people. Often this verse is quoted without regard to its context. I think we need to place it in its context. And in some ways it might seem to appear out of the blue. Because if you look at the opening verses here of Hebrews 13, they contain a number of practical exhortations which are so relevant to us. You can see what they are, can't you, there? Hebrews 13, the opening verses. Brotherly love should continue. Entertain strangers, be hospitable. Remember those who are suffering in prison for the sake of the faith. Honor marriage. Be content with such things as you have. All these are practical exhortations. Then we come to the one in verse 7, just before our text. They're to remember those who were their leaders, who had the rule over them, and to imitate their faith and their way of life. How does this verse tie in with the preceding context? Well, is there not perhaps here a contrast even between Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and with those leaders who meant so much to the Hebrew believers, but whom it would appear were no longer with them? They were to remember them. They were to imitate their faith. They were to remember the outcome of their way of life. These leaders were worthy of remembrance. And it's good we do remember inspiring Christian leaders from the past. I noticed in the session room, as there is in our session room in Limavady, some photographs of former ministers of this congregation. Many of them I don't think you could remember because they go back a long way. But I'm sure there are some you do remember with gratitude and thankfulness for the influence, the spiritual influence they had upon you by their teaching and their godly example. I'm sure some of you can recall godly ruling elders who served this congregation faithfully for many years, but who are no longer among you. Or indeed, a godly member, a man or a woman in the congregation who inspired you and set before you a godly example that spurred you on in your Christian life. But he or she is no longer with you either. So yes, the Hebrew believers were to remember and be inspired by the example of their former leaders. But they're gone. They seem to be gone. They may well have been martyred. Some commentators would say that the phraseology here would suggest, in fact, that these leaders had paid the ultimate price for the sake of the gospel. They had died as martyrs. What an inspiring example that would be. But if they were martyred, they're certainly no longer present amongst the people. Whereas, you see, though their leaders may have gone, they have this assurance: Jesus Christ is with them and will be with them, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There may well indeed be a link back as far as verse 5, where God's people are warned about being covetous and urged to be content with what they have. And you'll notice what's quoted in 13 and verse 5, the words of the Lord: I will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to depend upon your security through amassing lots and lots of wealth and wanting more and more. You can depend upon your security on the fact that the Lord will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Isn't that reassuring today? No matter what may come upon us in the Lord's providence in 2019, if you're one of his children, if you're united to him by faith, if you have God as your loving heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Shepherd, you know, you can know for sure, through all the changing circumstances of life, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And we should take that word never to heart. Sometimes, I think as human beings, we use the word never rather lightly, don't we? We say never, and we don't really mean it, or we don't really hold to it. When the Lord Jesus, when the Lord himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you can take him at his word. You can be assured of his unchanging presence amidst the change that is all around you. He is the shepherd who'll be with you. He'll be with you, so you need not fear, even through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging in his being and in his nature. And he is unchanging in his presence, therefore, amongst his people and with his people. And there is one more thing, I think, in the context that stands out. That Jesus Christ is only unchanging in his being and unchanging in his presence, but he is unchanging in his grace toward his people, his grace to sustain his people. I want to look at the context following the verse, because there's a link here as well. What is the context following the verse? What follows on from verse 8? Well, look at verse 9. Having stated Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, God's word says to the Hebrew believers, do not be carried about or carried away with various and strange doctrines. Why should they not be carried away, or what will help them not to be carried away? For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. You see, the Hebrew believers were under a lot of pressure to change, to abandon their Christianity, to go back to Judaism. And it would appear that one of the emphasis in the false teachers was the need to partake of ceremonial foods in order to be spiritually strong. And these false teachers were saying to the Hebrew believers, without those ceremonial foods, without going back to Judaism and availing of the ceremonial law and its foods and ceremonies, you'll not manage. You'll not cope. You'll not be secure. That's what the false teachers were saying. There were all kinds of strange teachings surrounding them. And clearly, as we read through the book of Hebrews, they were being tempted, weren't they, to go back? Because they're exhorted over and over again to remain true to the faith and not to slip back. And rather than depend upon ceremonial foods or strange new teachings, they are reminded upon what they can rely, what will strengthen their hearts, what will sustain them. Hebrews 13:9 says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. By grace. What is grace? Well, grace, as you know, is the unmerited favor of the Lord toward his people, undeserved. It's by grace we are saved. For none of us deserve to be saved. We are unworthy sinners. And all our own righteousness is as filthy rags. It's by grace we are saved, not by works, so that none of us can boast. So grace saves us, the Lord's grace. But it's also the Lord's grace that keeps you. It keeps you, sustains you, supports you, strengthens your hearts day by day. There are not too many references to grace elsewhere in the book of Hebrews, though, as we know, there are many, many references to grace, especially in the other epistles of the New Testament, where very often you have mentioned at the beginning of an epistle the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and even at the end of an epistle. However, there are at least two important references to grace in this book of Hebrews. I'd ask you to look back as far as Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. What does it say? What are we encouraged to do as believers? Let us then approach God's throne of grace. Here's the great King. He sits on his throne. But it's a throne of grace. A King who is ready to favor his people to meet their needs. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence or boldness. And what will happen? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we may find grace to help us in our time of need. Undoubtedly, dear friends, Christian brothers and sisters today, in the course of 2019, you will have times of need. You'll have times of need. You'll have times when you feel very weak. You'll have times when you're struggling. Even perhaps times when you feel overwhelmed, as the psalmist was overwhelmed in Psalm 102. How good it is to know that you will still have a gracious Savior. And you can go to the throne of grace and through him find grace to help you and sustain you, keep you in your times of need. And there is another reference in Hebrews. Turn to the very end of the book. See how the book ends. The writer of the Hebrews has been so aware that the Hebrew believers are really struggling with the faith. They're under a lot of pressure and a lot of temptation. He's had to address many strong warnings and exhortations to them. But how does the book end? With what inspired words does it draw to a conclusion? Simple but wonderful words. Hebrews 13 and verse 25. Grace be with you all. Amen. So let it be. Grace be with you all. You don't need ceremonial foods. You don't need all the outward trappings of the Old Testament ceremonial rituals. Here's what you need. You need the ongoing, sustaining, all-sufficient grace of the Lord who does not change, the Lord who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May his grace, may indeed be with you all in this coming year of 2019 and far beyond it. And so as you enter a new year, may this verse indeed be meaningful to you. May its truth be meaningful to you. May it encourage and assure you that whatever may come across your pathway, in your own life, in your family life, in the life of the nation, in the life of the congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. He will not change. And his unchanging grace will indeed sustain you. There was another very able poet many years ago. He wrote these words. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I'm sure you can testify to that too. Many dangers, many toils, many snares, but the grace of God has sustained you and brought you through them. So won't you say, and can't you say also, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The amazing grace of the unchanging Saviour and the unchanging Shepherd and Lord of his people. In him we have everything that we need for life and for godliness. So no doubt about it, 2019 will bring many changes. Changes we cannot foresee. Changes that will challenge us. But be assured, whatever changes may come, the Savior, in whom you put your trust and faith, he will not change. He is unchanging in his being, in his nature, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging in his presence. He'll be with you. For he has promised, hasn't he, to his people when he sent out his apostles with that great commission, he gave them these words, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And most preciously, perhaps, the Lord Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is unchanging in his grace. And he'll be there when you call upon him to strengthen you and sustain you and support you so you may serve him faithfully in the year that lies ahead. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise be to his glorious and gracious name. Amen.